When we pull our eyes off of Jesus, we become paralyzed. We become limp and weak in our walk with Jesus. Our faith is pretty much ineffective at that time. We see that. Therefore, in light of what God is doing, this command now is to everyone in the body, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, the message today reveals some important truths about how we're to live out our faith.
So let's get right to it and turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Basically, those who had a father who disciplined them, children respected them. They weren't rebels or wicked, right? They respected their parents for disciplining them, right? They respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? How much more should we subject ourselves to God the Father in His discipline and allow Him to bring life to us, in a sense, right? How much more should we subject ourselves? If you subjected yourself to your Father's discipline, how much more a loving Father who loves you should we subject ourselves? And as I mentioned last week, that's part of our problem. We don't want to subject ourselves to God, so we rebel against His purposes in the midst of the difficulties that come in our lives. But we should subject ourselves. Folks, we, all of us, I'm talking to myself as I preach here, we need to submit to our loving Heavenly Father's disciplinary training. We need to submit to Him because He's doing good, not bad. He's doing good. Remember, we saw the ultimate purpose in verse 10. For they, speaking of earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but He disciplines us, what? For our good. Now, last week I shared that that word good is not the usual word for good. It's a word that's translated usually profitable or profit or benefit. He disciplines us for our benefit. He's using the difficulties in our lives for our good, for our benefit. We need to remember that. And why? That we may share His holiness. You see, God is holy, and God has said that we're to be holy. But the way we become holy is when God weeds out sin, and then He produces the life of Christ in us as we abide and trust in Him. That's how He produces holiness in us. And so as we become more and more dependent on Jesus, as we confess sin and walk rightly, have our tracks of our lives straight, as we'll see in a moment, the Lord God enables us in that context to share in His holiness. His character is manifest in us. So He is allowing the things that we so dread, and we do dread them, right? Doesn't seem joyful for the moment, right? He is allowing those things, whatever it is, that we might share in His holiness. He wants us to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to have the right attitude in our tribulations and trials. Turn to Romans chapter 5. We're going to see this in the Apostle Paul, the way we as believers should see our tribulations. We have to renew our minds because this is not innate to us. Our feelings and things don't go this way. We have to renew our minds. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exult, or the word could be even say boast in a sense. We exult in our what? Tribulations. Why, really? Well, look what he says. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. That's Christ-likeness. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. When we trust in Jesus Christ, focusing on Him through the Word and prayer, realizing what He is accomplishing through the myriads of trials and tribulations, when we subject ourselves to Him, we can rejoice and exult in those difficulties, knowing He is doing good for us. But we got to remember, we can't forget the exhortation that is addressed to us as sons. Now, as I mentioned earlier, verse 11, all discipline for the moment, or literally for the present, and I like that, for the present, seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. That is so true, right? Amen. Well, we don't want to say amen to that, right? But yes, it does, right? It seems to be not joyful but sorrowful. That's the reality. It's hard. It's difficult. But the wonderful reality is, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Kind of makes it sound like there's certain levels of discipline that you kind of get through, and afterwards there's peace. That God trained you by it, and afterwards there's a fruit from that. Let God train you through the discipline. Let God change you that you would walk in the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Let His discipline work on you. Don't allow the training that He is putting you through to go to waste. He says here, afterwards, or yet to those who have been trained, we saw that gumnazo, they trained by it. Trained by what? The difficulties God allows, that He is using to conform you to the image of Christ. Afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. You see, when we sin, there's no peace, right? When we have wrong attitudes, when we're fearful, when we're anxious, there's no peace. I've never seen anyone anxious that had peace. When we're fearful, whatever, we're not trusting the Lord, that's the sin. We're not trusting Jesus, right? That's tightly gripping around us at times in difficulties. There's no peace. But when we manifest His character, His holiness, His righteousness, there's peace in the midst of difficulties. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want? We want peace in our difficulties. It yields, or literally pays back. Now we need to have the right attitude. We need to submit to God's discipline. We need to submit to His work in our lives. We need to yield to a good and loving God. Let me share a couple of proverbs that kind of point to the way we should think about discipline in a sense, or discipline in our lives. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12, and we'll start there, 12 verse 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. God says that. Proverbs 13, 1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. How much more our Heavenly Father's discipline, right? Wise son. Proverbs 13, 18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who what? Regards reproof will be honored. It's interesting, if you read the first half, you'd think maybe it's discipline and work or whatever it might be. That's possible. But when you see the contrast, he says, but he who regards reproof will be honored. Proverbs 15, 5. A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is prudent. 15:32. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. You see, God uses the difficulties in our lives, not simply maybe them, but to reprove us concerning sin, to allow us to think about our actions, to make us examine ourselves, that we might confess sin, that we might become more like Jesus. Proverbs 19:27. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Cease listening. Proverbs 19:20, the last one here. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. The reality is, God has ordained that His true children are disciplined, and He's a loving Father. Tremendous reality that He is using it for good, that He loves us, that every circumstance, no matter what, He will use, if we will submit to that process, we will yield to Him, we will trust Him in that. And notice, I want to read from this last verse 11 into our passage now. Back in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Therefore, in light of His loving discipline to His true children, in light of what we are not to forget, in light of what He is doing, therefore, we have the first command. And actually, we're giving in context four exhortations. You could almost say it this way, grammatically. Verse 12, therefore strengthen, right? And then we have therefore, verse 13, make straight. Therefore pursue, verse 14. Therefore see to it. Verse 15, you could say it that way. The therefore applies to all of those things grammatically. Therefore do these things. Therefore strengthen, make straight, pursue, see to it. So in light of our understanding of God's disciplinary action, here is how we are to respond. So first of all, how do we respond to God's discipline? First of all, we got to understand it. We need to know what he's doing and get that straight in our heads. But there's something we need to actually do also, that we actually step out and do. And that's what we're going to see here today. How are we to respond? I think first of all, we're to get our hearts right, certainly as we've seen. But secondly, we're to respond in a way that comes alongside those who are struggling with this. Look at verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Here we have basically a inspired paraphrase of Isaiah chapter 35, a quote from there. Isaiah 35, I have it on the front of your bulletins, most of it here. Isaiah 35, 3. Encourage the exhausted. Strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come, but he will save you. The context here, I believe, is speaking to Jews in the midst of God's judgment upon the nations. It's so difficult. He's purging you too in the midst of this, but he's going to save you. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Back in chapter 12. Now, this participle translated that are weak speaks of that which drops limp. Okay. So it's like, you know, a runner whose hands have just gone down like this. And then the term feeble, actually, that relates to the term knees here. It's an illustration. Speaks literally of that which is paralyzed. And these participles are in a perfect tense, passive voice. What does that mean? These hands have dropped limp in the past, and the knees have become paralyzed in the past, and they still are right now. And so there's a command. And this passively happened. You see, when we're discouraged because of the difficulties in life, we become immobilized in the good fight of faith, the race, trusting in Jesus Christ. The race that we are to run with endurance. We become immobilized. And here we are told how to respond. That there are those spiritually immobilized because of word forgetfulness and a wrong response to the difficulties that God allows. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. You know, every one of us understands this to a certain extent, I believe. That regardless of the trial, whether we're being disciplined for sin or not, we've confessed it, whatever, whether it's just difficulties that God allows, regardless, we recognize that when we forget the Word of God on a practical basis, when we pull our eyes off of Jesus, we become paralyzed. We become limp and weak in our walk with Jesus. Our faith is pretty much ineffective at that time, right? We see that. And we're tempted, right? Therefore, in light of what God is doing, this command now is to everyone in the body, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. The term strengthen here speaks of restoring a fallen structure, to bring it back to where it was. Bring it back to where they were. They were trusting the Lord. They're not doing it now. You were trusting the Lord, but you're not doing it now. Strengthen. Answer. Use the Word of God to inform those whom God loves. First and primary, yourself, but then others. That this is what the Lord is doing. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Set up that which has fallen. These believers, through their word forgetfulness concerning their circumstances, had become weak and feeble. They were in need of endurance, chapter 10. And it's at this point that we recognize every believer at times may need to be strengthened, to be set up again, to be restored in our thinking concerning our trials and what God is doing in those. He says, literally, you all strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And obviously we apply this to ourselves first, but it should be applied to the body of Christ as a whole. So how do we apply this? How do we come alongside someone who has been immobilized by the difficulties that God has allowed? How do we do this? It's through the knowledge of the truth in a context to encourage someone to submit to God's work in their lives for their good. It's a renewal of the heart and mind concerning what a good and gracious and loving God is doing. We see here that we need to come alongside believers who are faltering in their trials. We need to share His word that they would have a changed mindset, to bring about confession if needed, to turn attention back to Jesus so that they will benefit. They will share in His holiness. Therefore, based on what God has revealed in His word, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. In every trial, we are tempted to falter, to be paralyzed with our walk. Remember what God has said. Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Now, apart from God's word doing so in our hearts and a submitted heart, we're not going to be strengthened. We need to see things rightly. We need to come rightly before the Lord. We should come and strengthen. We should encourage the exhausted, strengthen the feeble, say to those anxious in heart, take heart, take courage, and fear not. God's doing a good thing. Have you come along a brother or sister in struggle and come and encourage them? Have you strengthened the knees that are feeble? Now, they may not respond, and that's a problem in and of itself. But the implication is that you are going to be able to strengthen true brothers. You're going to be able to set them back upright again, to come alongside them, to help them in the midst of their difficulties. Isaiah chapter 50. Let's look there. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. You know, we're all disciples of the Lord, and we have the word of God. We need to come alongside and strengthen the hands that are weak, knees that are feeble. We need to strengthen brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, those who are faltering in their faith in Jesus Christ. You see, we want them to share in His holiness. We want them to experience the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And the only way is if they remember the exhortation and they understand and they turn and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to make that decision to do that. But then notice also, we are to get back on track personally ourselves. Look at verse 13 in Hebrews chapter 12. And make straight paths for your feet. This is a command. In light of God's disciplinary actions that He is using to bless and benefit His children, do this. Make straight paths for your feet. Now, the term paths literally spoke of the tracks or grooves that a wheel would leave. They're wheel paths. So as a wheel on a chariot, whatever it might be, a wagon, those paths that it made were those paths. They were straight. And it says, make straight paths. Now, before we were commanded to strengthen those, set them aright, just do it. That's the tense and last command. Here, it is continually, habitually make straight paths for your feet. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to make straight paths for your feet? Well, obviously, the path of our feet speaks of the path of our life, the course, the direction we're going, right? It speaks of our behavior, the path of our feet, what we do on a daily basis. It seems to be an inspired paraphrase of Proverbs chapter 4. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And he says here, look at verse 20. I'm going to go back a little bit. My son, give attention to my words. This is Solomon speaking to his sons. Pay attention to the word of God. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them what? In the midst of your heart. Put God's word in your heart. Don't let it go away, right? Proverbs 4. For they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Well, that's where you're supposed to be keeping the word, right? Watch over your heart. Don't let the word escape. Think rightly. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. Now notice this. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Make straight the paths of your feet. You see, Proverbs also has a lot of other passages in there. I'll read some concerning our way, our direction, the way we should live, the way we should go. Look back at Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You see, you can't make straight the path of your feet unless the Lord is primary and you're trusting Him and allowing His Word to direct you. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. Then we see it says, and He will make your ways or your paths straight. You want straight paths? Trust the Lord with your entire heart. You want straight paths? You got to have the Word in your heart too, as we see. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp, the teaching is a light, and reproofs and discipline are the way of life. God's Word directs your way. Proverbs 9, 6. Forsake your folly and live and proceed in the way of understanding. Proverbs 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who watches his way preserves his life. Think about your behavior. Proverbs 19, 16. He who keeps the commandments keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. Proverbs 22, 5. Thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse, but he who guards himself will be far from them. 23, 19. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. 23, 26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Our passage, make straight the path of your feet. Make straight the path of your feet. Make straight wheel tracks. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, very familiar passage. Joshua 1, verse 7, as the Lord encourages Joshua before they go into the land. Only be strong and what? Very courageous. That's the opposite of being weak and feeble, isn't it? Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your what? Your mouth. But you shall meditate on it day and night so that you shall be careful to do according to all that is written within it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank you so much for your word and your son Jesus. And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your son Jesus Christ for salvation.
that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our New Believers Packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your New Believers Packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family. Yeah.